Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. We're glad to have visitors here with us. We're thankful that you've chosen our church to come and worship at this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. And we hope that you'll find yourself at home and find yourself blessed by worshiping with us today. We'd love to see you come back and be with us at another time, another day of service. Get to know us better. What a blessing it is to be able to worship God together and to see God continually add to our church family as we continue to grow. I just tell you, just looking out and seeing how God is slowly moving it across the whole church. I just remember 7 years ago, everybody was over here, then some scattered over there, then we had a few over here, and now we got some sitting over there. I tell you, last Sunday morning was a blessing. I think Brother Victor said we had almost 200 here last Sunday morning. Church, I'm going to tell you, we can have that every Sunday morning if each one brings one. Each one brings one. Not difficult. I'm not asking one to bring 10, one to bring 20. Each one bring one. And I'm telling you, we can do a whole lot more, reaching out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if we are faithful to do so by one. One by one, let the Lord bring them and add them to our church, getting busy. I tell you, this year, Vacation Bible School that we had this past week, it was, far as the kids go, our numbers was a little down, but never before have we had so many workers, and the work get accomplished in such a manner. I appreciate all of you that put efforts and hands to get it put together, and it was just a blessing. And then to have 11 family members come on the last night that has never come before. There were 6 of those that don't go to church nowhere. Nowhere. So they came to church and they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because we suffered the little children to come to Him. Amen. You know, it's worth it, church. Thank you very, very much for your efforts. So glad that that took place. Matter of fact, this morning, we have one that has never been to church before until Vacation Bible School, sitting there with Sister Johnson. She's about the age of Samara. When Samara started coming, because of Vacation Bible School. Now Samara's grandma comes. Samara's cousin comes. Miss D comes. Samara's sister comes. Last Sunday morning, Samara's grandfather came. And every now and then, they sneak in one of their friends with them. DJ? We got DJ, MJ, and CJ. They're trying to confuse me. See how God works? You got to prepare for rain, dear friend. You got to prepare for it. Good to have all of you here. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to have for us in our services this morning. And just thankful for your efforts to reach out. Pray with me about this. Come daylight saving time, we are going to change our Thursday night visitation to men only. Thursday night visitation, we'll still have it, but it will be men only in the dark hours of the night. That's in, I think we'll start that in September. So pray with me. I have not completely made that decision, but Thursday night is going to be men only. And then Saturdays will still be church-wide visitation. Second and fourth Saturdays will be church-wide visitation. So we can keep reaching out to our community. Also, put this date in the back of your mind, September 21st, Monday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have our second Financial Peace University class hosted by Brother Hector and Sister Marie. They'll be overseeing that, watching it, going through it. So keep that in mind. Tell some friends about it and help me to remember to get it out there. It's a very needy thing to have our society not servants to the lender. We're servant to the lender. We become servant to the government. If we're servant to the government, God is not on the throne of our heart. We cannot obey God with what God would have us to do. So keep that in mind. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, thank you all for being with us. We will be done in about 3 minutes. Y'all go home and eat. 1 Peter chapter 2. They're laughing. They don't believe me. Well, the Yankees playing at noon, Brother Victor? We'll be out shortly, 3 minutes after 1. It was your ball team. You'd be excited if there's an overtime. All right, 1 Peter. We've been talking about, last week we started preaching on growth. Not number growth. Numbers don't always show growth. You know, you can have a whole bunch of people. I've got several pastor friends of mine who pastor larger churches. There's no big church, little church in God's eyes. They're the Lord's church, and each church is important where it's serving, as long as they're propagating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're running 25,000. If the gospel of Christ is not getting out there, dear friend, you're just gathering together. And you can do that somewhere else. You can do that at a sports event. Or you can go see Bono if you want to, you know, at 25,000. And numbers don't really mean nothing. When you have spiritual growth, you have something like what happened last week or last month when we had Vacation Bible School. We had 55 workers come out and band together. And that does not include everybody that brought candies and gifts and toys. That number does not include those. That is beyond that. When you have a growth of people reaching out with the gospel, that's the kind of growth we need to be talking about, spiritual growth. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to continue looking at growth for the next couple of weeks, maybe even 5 weeks into this. We're going to have just going to continue to talk about growth, because I believe it's very, very important that we understand what growth is, and that's what we looked at last week, what growth is and what growth is not. And it all begins with knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. 1 Peter chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to go over to verse 21, same chapter. And in verse 21, I want all of you to read that with me aloud. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 21, if you would. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So we're talking about growth. Now, growth in a physical form, physical life, you know, it'd be like for babes, as a babe is born, and then it eats some food and some milk and grows a little bit. Then we add some carrots and beans and some vegetables, other vegetables. We add some fruits, and the babe begins to grow, then begins to crawl, and then starts chewing on everything around, and begins to slobber and drool everywhere, and teeth start to come in. Some of them are born with no hair, and about 6-7 months into that, they start growing hair. Some of them are born with gobs and gobs of hair. I mean, you look at little Carson Korn. We prayed for him when he was born. I saw him up at camp, boy, at brother, even here in May. Man, he had a head full of hair for a little bitty babe there. And so that's part of growing. Then they start walking, and then they start running. And there's that physical growth. And I'm going to tell you, it's a tragedy when a child is brought to this world and there's no growth. I mean, parents begin to wonder and begin to, have some anxiety about what's going on. And some of us who have children who have grown, I mean, some of our children are big as we are, you know, grown like in men's bodies, but their minds are like 14-year-olds. I mean, they're 20 years old. There's no maturity They have no growth maturity-wise. And I'll tell you, we need to make sure that we're training our children in the things of life. So there's some maturity about them. They need to make some decisions that are mature decisions and things of that nature. So the same way physically people grow in the Christian life, there has to be a birth. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. You have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. And without Christ as our Lord and Savior, there will be no spiritual growth there, and there will be no maturity. There are some problems in our Christian circles. People are getting saved. They're not getting trained. They're not getting brought up into the Word of God, not being discipled properly. There's other ones who have gotten so big in their walk with Christ, they believe that they have matured beyond any other maturity in life, and so there's no more growth beyond that point in their life. Now, growth reveals something about you. Growth reveals things about you. I've got three hymns I want to look at this morning. One of them you can find in your song book, if you would. Take this book here and look over with me. In 230. Now, as our songs in life begins to grow, there's going to be some growth in our life and there. So we're going to look at this here little hymn here. We're going to read it. There's five verses, but we won't read the chorus but one time. But if you look with me, Brother Jim, this might be a good one. We could even start learning tonight. I don't know if we've sung this one before. I don't think I'm home. Am I home, guys? Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Lord, I can hear myself. Okay. All right. 230. Deeper, deeper. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let He go. Deeper, deeper, blessed, holy... Let's start over. Verse 1. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more grace to know. Look at verse 2. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Verse 3. Deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. But songs like this, dear friend, is why we come to church and we spend more time around the Word of God, so that we can go deeper into the school of learning through Christ. Then there's another one. It's in this book. Y'all don't have it, so you have to pay attention. I'll try to read a little bit proper than I did on that one. Still sweeter every day. Has anybody ever heard that one? Still sweeter every day. It says this. To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the gold and purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictures in its fairest dreams and more. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. His glory broke upon me when I saw Him from afar. He's fairer than the lily, brighter than the morning star. He fills and satisfies my longing spirit o'er and o'er. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. Then this morning we sung another one, Brother Jim. What song? Well, that was 398 in our book. Some of you that weren't here for Sunday school, you didn't get to sing it with us, but 398... in this book, it's a good hymn that we can sing. 398. It's all about the growth. And these are songs that when we read and study and sing these songs with the Word of God, dear friend, we understand what these old hymns are talking about. Every day with Jesus, 398. Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. How do you know you have spiritual growth, dear friend? Every day with Jesus. is so much better than the day before. Every day you're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. Now, how do we know that we're growing? How do we have any guide to growth? Remember, first, you have to be saved. If you're sitting here this morning and you've been religious and you've done some good works and you've been a good person and you've spent time in churches, dear friend, it doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. Now, if you're saved, born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should want to read the Bible. You should want to pray. You should want to be in the house of God. Your desire should change as that takes place. Dear friend, I'm telling you, there are some people in this world that I would not take a tricycle to work on. Well, how do you know? Because you look in their yard and they have 15 cars out there and only 8 of them are on blocks. And the other ones all have their hoods up, and only one is working. Dear friend, I wouldn't let them work on my car. Just because you go to a church where there's a whole bunch of people doesn't mean you're born again. No more than it makes that man a mechanic. You've got to know Christ as a personal relationship between you and Him. And you come to Him alone, not because you're church, not because you're mom, not because you're dead. You come before Christ, a sinner, need to be saved. And Jesus does a work in your heart, and you're born again, and then there's growth. Now, what must take place? Well, go back to our first verse we read, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. When you have salvation true and sure through Christ Jesus alone, dear friend, you're going to forsake and you're going to start becoming a mature Christian. Look at verse 1. Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking." You know, as you grow up in life, for sake of embarrassing any of you, I wouldn't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you, as you grew up in life, you had a blanket that you drug around from like 8 months old till you were like 22. No, not 22. But you drug this blanket around, and that was your little... How many of you had a little bitty Barbie doll? You just had to have that Barbie doll. You boys, perhaps you had a teddy bear. I don't know what you carried around. How many of you had children? Don't raise your hand because you've got children here. But they sucked their thumb, and that was just part of them. And you just prayed, "Lord, please allow them not to suck their thumb until they're like 12, 15 years old. Or maybe they have a little binky, little pacifier." And as soon as you could get rid of that thing, you was trying everything. I remember my wife's mom. Well, we had a couple of the kids that they had one of the two of those little habits. And she was all saying, "Why don't you put some Tabasco sauce on that thumb? That'll quit. They'll stop sucking on that thumb then." You know, or something like that. Put some hot sauce on it, or hot pepper or something. You know, try to break that habit. But you had these habits as children, and you was just thankful the day that they quit dragging that blanket, or put that Barbie doll down, or put that bear down, or put the pacifier down, or they just quit. What did that show? That showed growth. Well, I'll tell you something. There's days as I look out as your pastor and I see some of you newborn babes in Christ. Well, you're dragging a blanket around. So you got your little spiritual teddy bear and you're walking around that spiritual teddy bear. And that's okay. But there comes a time, as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians, that when I became a man, I put away childish things. There comes a time, boy, and I look out at our congregation, I keep seeing you grow, keep seeing you step forward, and I see you lay down those little childish relics, those little childish things, and you take the next step of growth. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not easy laying down that old blanket, that security blanket. Sometimes it's not easy getting rid of that old teddy bear that you've carried around, dear friend. And some of the kids here probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, they're thinking, man, I can't wait till I get back home. Mom or Dad wouldn't let me bring that blanket to church. But when I get back home, I'm going to have my blanket. And boy, as you grow and you become mature in Christ, there's some things you've got to put off. You've got to leave behind. This verse says some of them. Laying aside all malice, bitterness. You know, when I see spiritual growth, when I can see people lay aside the bitter feelings they have towards others. Some of you have been done wrong by parents. Some of you have been done wrong by other church members in the past. Some of you have been done wrong by siblings. Some of you have been even abused in ways that we don't even want to talk about. Boy, you had a bitter heart, a bitter spirit towards that. But you begin to lay down those old earthly relics, those old childish things. I'm not despairing or discounting anything you've gone through, dear friend. But I'm going to tell you this. You are forgiven in Christ Jesus, and you have to learn to forgive and move on with your life. Lay those things aside, pressing on toward the mark of Christ Jesus, the high call of God in Christ Jesus, and get beyond that so that you can have maturity. So you can grow, and you got to lay aside malice and bitterness. Bitterness is like arsenic, and you drink in that, it's killing you. You know, when you're bitter against somebody else and you're angry against somebody else, dear friend, you give them the key to your emotions. They control you. There should be one person on the throne of your heart, and that's Christ Jesus. So you lay it aside. What else did he say lay aside? All guile. I looked up that word guile. Let me tell you, it's the disposition to be to be hypocritical. It's there. You have the disposition to. You're not yet there, because we know you're not there, because the next one there is, and hypocrisy. But you know it's there. It's almost you're crossing on that little border. You've got a little line there, and you'll go so far, but you won't quite be hypocritical yet. But that's where it leads. You got to leave that alone. Lay it aside, that hypocrisy that you really act out. I mean, that hypocrisy, like you're the top dog dad at church, but when you go home, you're a different story. You're like Mad Dog, Junkyard Graveyard Dog type pit bull thing at home. But you come to church, you all smile and glow, you know, are happy. You know, your wife, you know, she comes to church. You're at church in the house of God, and boy, she's the epitome. Not the epitome. That's bad, isn't it? She's the example of godliness in the house of God. But then she gets home, dear friend, and it's despair. I mean, it's just it totally flips the switch from church to home, church to home. Some of you drive up into the church parking lot, dear friend. If we would catch you a quarter mile up there, you wouldn't be looking like the same folks. That's acting out hypocrisy. You got to lay it aside. It's not good to be cream of the crop at church and be sour cream at home. You got to be all over the place. Pastor, you gifted this? Yes, sir, I am. And we grow in maturity, and we come to the point where we say, oh, I've crossed that line of hypocrisy. I have that guile inside me. I have bitterness, and I lay it aside, because that's what God said for us to do in the Word of God. Some of you kids, you go visit with some of your friends, and you're just as respectful as you can be to their parents, but you come home and you're disrespectful to your own parents. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. You come to church and you're grateful to other people, but to your own siblings, you're ungrateful. It's hypocrisy. The Bible says, lay it aside. Lay aside. What else says? Envy. Man, alive in this society we live in, we are so envious of everybody. You know, the Bible says for us to weep for those who weep, rejoice for those who rejoice. If somebody else gets blessed, dear friend, be happy for them. Be happy for them. It's envy. It's a green-eyed monster of jealousy that's sticking out in your head whenever you look what somebody else has and you think you've got to have it. I'll tell you where it's going to lead you. It's going to lead you to a life of indebtedness to this society. Man, you go fishing with your brothers or our friends or go spend some time golfing with them. I don't know what you do. And whatever you do, boys, you get there and somehow or another they were able to scratch together a little bit of money and they bought them a new golf club or a new fishing pole or a new bicycle or maybe they bought them a new suit or maybe she bought her a new pair of shoes. And man, you look at there and you say, man, they don't deserve that. I deserve that. I'm much better off. I'm a much better Christian than they are. And I deserve that. And boy, you're envious. First of all, dear friend, they don't give an account to you or to me. They give an account to the Lord. And if the Lord blessed them with that, rejoice with them. You say, oh, but preacher, I know if they did, they wouldn't have got another credit card to God. He knows a busybody. That's their business if they want to be ruled by debt. Pray for them. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't want to be ruled by debt. But don't be envious. What else do you say? Evil speaking. Christians that speak evil of one another, dear friend. You know what you show whenever you speak evil of events like at church. You have these things like, you know, that's going on. Print shop work night. And you say, man, I don't know why in the world preachers want a print shop work night. Just wants to put us to work again. It's not even worth it. You're speaking evil. You know what it shows? How childish you really are. How immature you really are. I can't believe Brother Jim wants to have another song sung, you know, practice another round of this song. And you lean over to your buddy, you say, I wish Brother Jim would just hurry and quit. Evil speaking. You know what it shows? How immature of a Christian you really are. Oh, my preacher, I've been saved 50 years. It don't matter, dear friend, you evil speak. You're childish. You have malice towards somebody, you're childish. You have guile and hypocrisy, you're childish. So you have to put these things on. My soul, this is as quiet as I've ever heard y'all in a long time, church. Are we not getting what I'm saying? You know why we have no spiritual growth? Because we remain in a childish body. You've got to grow. How do you grow? By the sincere, as newborn babies, verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. You've got to put off some things, dear friend, and you've got to put them on. I can tell you this right now. If I'd been preaching on abortion and homosexuality, half of you would be saying amen. But now I'm preaching on envy and slander and hypocrisy, and you're sitting there like a bunch of turtles on a log. You know I'm telling the truth, church. Reason we don't have no spiritual growth, dear friend, is because we're not being obedient to the Word of God. So as we put off these things, what must I do to become a mature Christian? Verse 2. A desire. I mean a desire, a real desire. Can I ask you this, dear friend? What are you feeding your mind? What are you feeding your heart and your soul? I mean, we've got to understand this. What we take in affects us. Don't. Preacher, it does physically, it does spiritually. Why do you think, what was the last big boxing thing you had? Who was that? Mayweather and Pacquiao. Back about 3 months ago. Man, it was huge. Everybody's talking about I'm going to have this big fight. And I'm telling you, dear friend, I'm telling you, Mayweather or Pacquiao didn't sit down the night before and eat a half a hog. Neither one of them. Listen, They didn't get up, the morning of the fight and go down to Gold Corral and buffet their body before the fight. Why? Because it would affect them. They watch what they put in their body. Sometimes we are so easy to watch what we take, our salt intake, our sugar intake, and we drink the right stuff, we take the right medicines or the right vitamins. Boy, we watch the physical. But we let the spiritual sit there and swivel up and shrivel up and die. And what goes in affects us, dear friends. Some things are very detrimental to us spiritually. Very detrimental. Name it one, preacher, about some of the stuff we read. Some of them novels that y'all reading that's going to make the man in that novel to be the next shining knight of your life, dear friend, that's detrimental to you. You know your husband and God knows your husband. Your husband will never line up to that. Never, ever will he become that there novel. It's a fantasy world. The same thing goes for you, men. Got your eye on these women from Hollywood and these women in these pageants and things and of that nature. And, well, we get all excited about it. And we're reading about, how this woman does, how this woman is. And you come home and you say, well, I wonder why my wife is the way she is. Because you're the way you are. That's why. You're the head of the home. And the stuff we read is killing us. This here Harry Potter mess you're letting your kids read. It's filth from the devil. Filth. No wonder our kids can't be spiritual. They're spending so much time reading this kind of junk. You know what I started reading about a month ago? A 1982 history book of America. Preacher, that's boring. You're 46-year-old, you're reading history? Yeah, because this new stuff that they're teaching them at school, dear friend, it ain't history. They're changing it a lot. And you got to get rid of that stuff. The percentage of the television that we watch is detrimental to you. A great percentage of television preacher, come on. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, you sit around with your buddies and you cuss and you throw out profanity and you use God's name in vain and you say this cuss word and that cuss word and I'm telling you, you showing you're an immature Christian. Well, how do you know? Because ain't none of them words in this book. There ain't none of these words that you're saying in this book. It shows you're immature. You know why you say those words? Because you sit around at home watching those words. I knew this was going to be a good one. I got up this morning and I said, Lord, I need you on my side. That television you're watching with all them bedroom scenes, dear friend, it's detrimental to you. Detrimental. Detrimental to your marriage, detrimental to your mind, detrimental this here unmarried mess living together, shacked up together that you're watching, it's detrimental. It's detrimental to you. I'm telling you, you know why you're not spiritually growing? Because you're watching this intake and you are reproducing the same intake that you have. It's detrimental. All this here drinking and carousing going on that you're watching as a sign of the good life. Preach, you're meddling right now. No, we're talking about spiritual growth. Amen. You talk to any of these men that's beat the battle of the bottle, and they'll tell you, dear friend, there ain't no good life in it. There ain't no good life in it. That is the first disease that you can get from a bottle. Alcoholism, different, the Bible says it's drunkenness. It'd be like taking a gun and shooting yourself in the foot and say you got the disease of a gunshot. You did it. You know, spiritual growth? You want our young men and our young boys to grow up, be godly men? Then we men got to grow up ourselves. Stop getting angry every time preacher says you shouldn't be cussing. Some of you fuming right now because I said you shouldn't be cussing. I called you childish. Some of you mad because I said watching that stuff on TV, watching that bedroom stuff on TV, you're mad. You say, I'm mature enough to do it. I can handle it. Really? That's why the divorce rate in America and the church is the way it is today. It's detrimental to us, dear friend. It's spiritually deteriorating us. Are y'all okay out there? Listen, I'm not talking about something that's strange. I'm reading from a King James Bible, dear friend. I'm reading what the Word of God says to us that we've got to put off. And we've got to put on some things, and we have no desire for the milk of the Word of God because of what we're taking in. You know why you can't beat that battle? Because you're feeding the flesh. Dear friend, if I had a problem with alcoholism and drunkenness and had to fight that, dear friend, the last thing I want to watch is a Budweiser commercial. Oh, preacher, I can fight it off. Are you kidding me? You know how many homes has been destroyed because of it? Oh, preacher, I can handle it. I just sip on it here and there and a little bit. Ask any drunk in America. They never became a drunk without sipping. Taking a nip before work, nip after work. Before long, they had to have a nip at work. Before long, the wife got underneath the hair so they didn't get a nip. They got a 40. Came home, the kids was acting up, needing some shoes. So instead of buying some shoes and straightening out the kids and loving on the kids, they went down to the Five Points, spent that afternoon at the bar. That's what happens. It woos us into a reality that we're stronger than we are. A desire. What is a desire? As a newborn babe's desire, having an eager, longing, hunger for the Word of God. Like them little babes. Mom can give a babe a bottle, a nurse the babe, give them some food, they'll put them down to sleep, dear friend, and they ain't doing nothing but sleeping. They'll sleep for maybe 2 hours, maybe 4 hours, maybe 6 hours. They'll stretch it out, but I don't care what time. When they wake up at 2, when they wake up at 4, when they wake up at 6, dear friend, the very first thing they want to do is to eat again. A desire for that food. You come to church, there should be a desire for the Word of God. Not a desire for a ghost story. Not a desire for the next joke that preacher can tell. Not a desire for the next poem that I can find and read. And I'm not against jokes. I'm not against poems, dear friend. But we grow by the sincere desire of the Word of God. You cultivate a hunger for the Bible. As a babe hungers for that milk, you desire, you cultivate it, you get into it, and you have a desire to grow. So, what's the reason for? Because we are to grow in such a fashion that one day we reflect Christ in this world. That's why we read verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. That's why the intake destroys. Ask yourself this question, dear friend. That television show that you're watching with your kids, would you watch it with Jesus Himself? That joke you just told at work, would you tell that same joke to Jesus? He's our example. We're to walk in His footsteps. He's our hero. Every last one of us have heroes. You know how many of my heroes have fallen and faltered and fallen? Almost every human hero I ever had. Even some of the preachers that I had failed. But Jesus is the only hero that has never fallen. He stands strong and stands tall. The young Christian might even call the one that led them to the Lord their hero. Maybe some song singer or some musician in the Christian circle. But our example is Christ Jesus. I would to God that no Christian would ever fail. I wish they would stand tall and they would be the trophy of God's grace here on this earth from day in to day out. But I'm not so naive to understand that they are nothing but human. And I look at them and I see them. And I hold them up. I've got some preacher friends that I hold up, dear friend, but I'm going to tell you this, tomorrow, if they fall off the pedestal and they're completely out of the ministry, tomorrow, I'm still going to follow Jesus. I'm still going to follow Jesus. Spiritual growth. The guide to growth. You've got to put some things off, like you said in verse 2. You've got to have some things in you, the intake, and you've got to have the proper examples. Verse 21. Don't get much easier, church. I know I talked a whole bunch in between there. But verse 1 and 2 and 21, 3 points we need. How are you spiritually today? How are you spiritually this day? I've come to realize why most people don't want church the way it's been for years and years and years. And years. They want church to be changed. They want new songs. If I'm gonna tell you, if I want to go see you two or whoever those two are, I'll go see you two. Isn't that a group? I won't come to church to see you two. You know why we want church changed? Because we fed the flesh so long. That's why we want to change. Let's get up and grow, church. I know the rest of the world is thinking just falling around like little children, baby Christians, okay? But it's not okay because Jesus said, I send you forth as wolves. I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, crawling around, you're not going to outrun a wolf. But get up on your feet, you can run faster and quicker to Jesus. And get to Him a whole lot quicker than crawling around. Let's just get up and grow so we can make a great difference. You know, the Bible says, ye are the salt of the world. Let's stand on our feet. Church, if you're not saved this morning, if you're sitting here with us this morning, you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, spiritual growth you know nothing about. Dear friend, if you're not saved, the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you take a moment, let us just show you in the Word of God what God says about eternity, about heaven and hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And Christ Jesus made the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Church, if you're sitting here, you know you're saved, but there is no spiritual growth. You have no desire for the Word of God. It's probably because you're feeding the flesh. The two war against each other. We fight spiritual battles. And to be able to win those battles, we're going to have to feed the Spirit. What page, Brother Jim? 177, church.